joining us now, Wilding and Tausch fame. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly. We are presented by Coors Light. I bet Jason Wilding knew that Mark Tauscher was a Packer Hall of Famer.
You think so?
Yeah, I believe so.
He's a Hall of Famer?
Yeah, yeah.
Huh.
Jason, I don't know if you... I should have had Ryan have the audio ready, but last week we asked on Minute to Win It, Matt and Molly to name the last 10 Packers inducted in the Packer Hall of Fame, and they got two right, and neither one of those answers was Mark Tauscher.
I just thought he was in forever.
What's that?
Who did they get?
Charles Woodson.
Yeah.
Who did they get?
Charles Woodson.
Clay Matthews.
Clay Matthews. I guess now, Chad Clifton, but it was
to Tauscher's credit, he got every single one correct except he couldn't think of Tim Harris.
Yeah. Tauscher.
That's pretty good.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, look, he's a Hall of Famer. And now Tark Sala, Badger Hall of Famer. Like, it's a pretty loaded Hall of Fame crew here at ESPN Wisconsin.
Let's go.
I just thought he was inducted before 2018. That was our stance. I thought Wilding and Tauscher was saying Packers Hall of Famer Mark Tauscher for 8 years.
Wildy, I will say I did know your show anniversary, so I got that one right.
Yeah, I did not.
Who cares about any of that?
Molly cares, apparently.
I did, because I honestly thought that he was a Hall of Famer before your guys' show started, and your show started in 2016, so I didn't realize that he only got inducted in 2018. I thought it was a lot longer than that.
Yeah. We're basically hedging.
Well, it took doing a show with me for him to become a Hall of Famer, I think, is what we're supposed to take from that.
Same with Tark. He'd never been in the Hall of Fame unless he hosted a decade with me.
That's true. That's probably true. Things.
So, like, when will Malik Willis be in the Packers Hall of Fame? Are they going to wait for his career to finish, or do you think they'll just put him in?
I think tomorrow.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think they might just put him in. Just look, I thought this was really interesting today because this idea that Matt LaFleur, you know, was suggesting that if Jordan's not able to play, you know, I have a pretty long history with Doc McKenzie, and I am aware of his conservative medical approach because he's taken it with my own children, and they're not nearly as important as the $220 million man is. They're more important to me. I was joking with Doc today that I'm the only person who works inside Lambeau Field who had someone whose knee was more important than Jordan's, which, because we were over there, because Maddie's got a torn meniscus. So I was talking to him about that, and he always wants to play, as Mike McCarthy used to say, the high side of caution. And so the fact that LaFleur got up there today and suggested that, you know, it wasn't out of the realm of possibility that Love could play this week, I'm sorry, I find that fundamentally unbelievable. I don't see a scenario where Doc McKenzie clears him to play with his knee. What? Now, could it be after two games? Could it be after three games? Sure. But you don't invest $220 million in a guy and then rush him out there. It would be malpractice, and Doc McKenzie isn't wired that way. Now, that said, what I thought was interesting, if LaFleur's trying to play some gamesmanship with the Colts and keep them guessing, oh, maybe Jordan's going to play kind of a thing, that I don't think works. But I think had he played the, you know, we're going to let Malik and Sean Clifford battle it out all week long, and then we'll see who we're going to go with on game day. Like, even if that's a lie and Malik Willis is getting all the one snaps during the course of practice to get him ready, that's where you keep the Colts guessing. So I was a little surprised at the angle that LaFleur took.
How bad is Sean Clifford that this is basically unquestionably Malik Willis's job? He's been here 2 weeks. I mean, Clifford was around all of last year just from, like, functionally running the offense. You'd be like, we just have to roll Clifford out there because I don't know how much of the playbook Malik's going to know.
Weren't Clifford and Love in a quarterback competition last year? Remember this when people were going crazy?
Well, there's crazy people who go crazy all the time.
Yeah, I think there were some people that maybe had other reasons why they liked Sean Clifford better, and not the kind of reasons that you should be proud of. Look, Sean Clifford actually had a really good camp last year. They really liked what they saw, and then he took a step back this year. Whether or not he would give them the best chance to win on Sunday, I'm not sure. I'm not willing to say that he definitely would not give them the best chance to win, because, like you just said, he's been in this offense since he was drafted in the fifth round in April of 2023. So what is that, 16 months, 17 months of being in the system? That's a long time. But he did not have a good camp. And here's my point. I don't know how you would possibly, though, say, okay, Malik, we really like your potential. We traded for you. We think you're going to be a really good player for us. But we don't, now that we actually need our backup to play, we don't think you're ready to play. So we're going to play the guy that the general manager said was unimpressive and not good enough during training camp. The fact that Goody came out and basically said neither of those guys were good enough, and then they acquired Malik Willis, tells you everything you need to know. So I think they painted themselves into the corner that you can't trade for the guy and then say, this guy was underwhelming. That was the word Goody used. But we're going to play him instead of you anyway because he's been here longer. I think they had no choice. I think this is the clear cut. They have to do it. But I will be curious if they're willing to make a switch mid-game if Malik Willis isn't getting them moving.
Jason, are you aware of any of the treatment that Jordan Love is receiving? I know you just said that you've got a good history with Doc McKenzie, but do you know of anything that he's going to be having done for his MCL, especially if they'd like him to return, obviously, within the next couple weeks? We had somebody chime in on YouTube that said, can Jordan get his blood treated like Kobe Bryant did back in the day? Blood flow is the primary factor with MCL healing. What are your thoughts on that?
So I'm not a doctor, and I don't play one on the radio, and I can't speak to what they're doing with Jordan specifically, but part of the conversation I was having with Doc McKenzie about Maddie's meniscus was the same thing about, you know, this the different things that they're able to do with blood and with he was talking a lot about stem cells and the way they're utilizing them now and how things have changed even in the last decade or so. I don't know what they're doing with Jordan. I know, you know, one of the common things they do is electric stim, which is stimulation, where your knee is, or whatever injury you have, is attached to these electrodes, and they send these electrical charges through your body to stimulate blood flow as well. We didn't get to go to the locker room today. All we had was LaFleur. So I have not seen Jordan. I texted him. I have not heard back from him. So I don't know exactly what they're doing for him yet. But I would think that, A, the fact that he avoided a catastrophic injury, and, B, everything you hear is that it's on the optimistic end of the 3 to 6 week window, would mean that they have a really good plan in place, that the injury is not severe, that they feel like there's different treatments they can do. And as we've said before, they don't have to do surgery, which is obviously a huge thing as well.
Jason, outside of the last 7 seconds of that game, what stood out to you the most? Let's go one positive, one negative.
So I think there were a bunch of positives. And one of the positives is, quite frankly, the negative of the fact that they stepped on their, they tripped over themselves as an offense and still were in a position to win the game, right? Mm-hmm. Like, to get those takeaways in the red zone and be destroyed, in Matt LaFleur's words, in the red zone and still be in position to potentially win the game, tells you how good their offense was at times, right? So that's part of it. I thought Josh Jacobs being better in the second half was an encouraging sign. I thought you saw, and I think the field was part of it, but I thought you saw their passing game. Now it won't be the same without Jordan Love running it, but you saw why they like so many different guys, because they all have different roles. So those were all positives. I thought the biggest negative, because I was realistic about the defense. New system, 8 snaps against the Browns backups in the first preseason game a month earlier. I figured there would be shoddy tackling. I figured there would be communication mistakes. I thought that there would be some big plays in the run game. All those things happened. What I would have been disappointed about if I was a Packers fan was the fact that the defense The Eagles take over with 8 minutes left in the game, and they go 16 plays, 67 yards, 7.5 minutes, and they can't get off the field. And I understand there was a ticky-tack penalty on Jair that kept the drive alive, but the bottom line is the defense cannot allow that to happen. Like, maybe you give up a couple of first downs, but you cannot afford to have your guys give up that much and allow them to eat up the clock. And I think that makes this week really interesting, and we'll use Jim's Bears as an example. I still think Caleb Williams is going to be really, really good. He was not good yesterday. Can we agree on that?
Absolutely.
But they win a game in which he throws for like 93 yards because their defense gets a touchdown, their special teams get a touchdown. Those two aspects of the Packers and Matt LaFleur's ability to design a game plan that plays to the strengths of Malik Willis are the two most important things that have to happen. Those other areas have to pick up their games. LaFleur's got to pick up his game, and maybe they can win at home even without Jordan Love at quarterback.
Well, and that was that's our poll question today. It was basically, and I used the Bears as inspiration. Now, Caleb did no harm. And honestly, the difference between Caleb Williams and Justin Fields, even in game one, was Caleb didn't throw an interception, he didn't fumble the ball away, and he didn't take a sack in the fourth quarter. He did no harm. So that's one of the things Malik Willis will have to do in the game is do no harm.
But
the question we were asking is that defense and special teams, that they won the game. Jonathan Owens got a touchdown for the Bears. Tyreek Stevenson got a touchdown for the Bears. Do the Packers, is their special teams and defense good enough to go win a game for the Packers in these next three games? Because that, I think, is going to happen at least once.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a really good question. And I don't have enough evidence to be able to speak intelligently and say that they do or they don't, right? I would say this. I don't have enough evidence to say they will. Their special teams, you know, LaFleur just admitted this a little while ago. The idea that he would tell Keyshawn Nixon to take the ball out with 27 seconds left on that kickoff, LaFleur took the blame. He said, I'm going to put that on me. It won't happen again. We didn't get it clearly communicated what we wanted done. He did not give Keyshawn a clear instruction to take the touchback. I don't know how that happens, and that sounds to me like maybe a coach covering for a player who disobeyed an order, to use a Few Good Men reference, and he doesn't want to make his player look bad, because Tausch thinks that was smart, because you could have broken it. And I thought it was a terrible idea, and it turns out the coach also did not think it was the right thing. But those are the kinds of things you can't have your special teams do. You can't miss kicks. You can't have a mistake on a return. You certainly can't turn the ball over. And while they have changed their defensive coordinator and they changed their kicker, they haven't changed their special teams coordinator and they haven't changed their return man. And so if those guys are able to make plays like the Bears did, then they have a chance. But if they're going to make mistakes on top of having Malik Willis at quarterback and on top of the defense not being in midseason form in a new system, then I think Sunday's going to be a long day.
Jason, what are your thoughts on Jair Alexander? He's still paid like one of the top cornerbacks in the league, but he's certainly not playing like one. And then I think it was, I don't know if it was first or second quarter, when he just got burned on that touchdown. I believe it was A.J. Brown. What are your thoughts on him this season? I know it seemed like he was excited going into it with having a new defensive coordinator, but do you think he's going to be different this year?
I mean, in fairness, A.J. Brown is a really, really good player, right?
True.
Like, I don't know where you put him in your rankings, but you're paying him to shut him down, and he didn't, and that's fair criticism of Jair. He also had the interception, but then he runs around like a crazy person and probably should have just taken the touchback. But the bottom line is that he wasn't great. He certainly didn't play at the level that you need him to play at consistently. So that's a fair criticism. Again, I think all of the stuff that we're looking at with this defense has to be with the asterisk of they were playing their first game together in this system. And while that is maybe a flimsy excuse, you know, look, I've done this long enough that there was a time where they played their starters into the third quarter of the third preseason game to precisely avoid this kind of stuff happening in the opener. You know, Dom Capers, when he got here in 2009, not only did the starters play a ton, but they also ran a bunch of their stuff because he wanted to see them run it in games. And that was not the case with this group and this system this preseason. Now, I don't have a problem with that because, as we've talked about, the 2021 Packers got run out of the gym 38-3 in Jacksonville by the New Orleans Saints, and they still were the number one seed in the NFC. So there's enough margin for error with a 17-game schedule and with everybody else being the same way that I don't think it's a big deal to lose one game, especially to what looks like a pretty darn good football team. But, yeah, Jair needs to be better. Rashawn Gary needs to be better, right? I mean, the one sack he got was the one where Lane Johnson thought there was a false start and thought the play should have been blown dead, and it wasn't, right? And so you need your stars to play like stars, and I think you can argue that on defense, the only one that really played like that was Xavier McKinney, who I thought played a really good game in addition to just his interception.
Yeah, he was great. Before we let you go, James Earl Jones, primetime Wollersheim, shared with us before the show started. He passed away. What do you know him most from? Is it from Coming to America, The Lion King, Sandlot, Field of Dreams, or the Star Wars? What resonates the most with you with great American actor James Earl Jones?
This is CNN.
There, okay.
No, that's not it. But I don't know if people knew that was him, too. I think for me, as much as I love The Lion King, mm-hmm. Which I'm very excited about Mufasa that's supposed to come out at Christmas time. I think it's his role in Field of Dreams. He is so good in that. I mean, I just thought that he was the best actor in that film by far. And peace, love, dope. I just thought that was his best role for me. Now, obviously, he had a career that was a great career even before I knew who he was, but that was my favorite role for him. And I will say, Coming to America, also very good in that film.
Yeah, he's a American legend. So thanks for your thoughts on the Packers and James Earl Jones, Jason Wilde.
All right, guys, take care. Be good.
Bye, Jason.
Turn on your microphone.
Bye, Jason.
That was Jason Wilde. He's Matt Hamilton. You can go be a winner by going to Ho-Chunk Amy Madison. Nearly $1,300 was won last weekend alone at Ho-Chunk Amy Madison. That just means Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Nearly $1,300 won. 552 people had jackpots at Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison. Go be a winner and go to Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light.
You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN, ESPN Madison on YouTube, and Wisconsin On Demand.